to do the last week of winning the war in your mind. And I know it's been a couple of weeks since we've been gone, man. Aaron did an amazing job filling in last minute. Because, I mean, you know, John was scheduled to come and then had an issue and they had to go out of town and we were out of town. So Aaron was like, dude, I'll just do it, man. I'm good. And he came in and just killed it, man. It was amazing. If you missed it, go back and watch it. And then the following week, John took care of it. We were home, but we had been around some people who had COVID. And how many of you know, I don't want to be the cause of anything, whether I am or not. So we just played it safe and stayed at the house this past week. But y'all know what? I'm broke out now. I'm free. I can go anywhere. I'm excited about that. I'm pretty happy. It started yesterday. So kind of anxious to get out there. How many of you know, if you like to do something and it gets taken away, you are miserable until it comes back, regardless of how it is, right? Like, I love spending time with my family and I want them around me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm that guy, right? I want them with me always, but I don't want us to be at home doing that. I want us to be gone and going and play. Anyway, my wife hates it. She loves being at home. She likes staying home, but so does Shelby. But thanks you for all of you who prayed for us. And again, we need to keep, we've got a lot of people that are battling with COVID. I don't want to name them all off because how many of you know some people don't like it when you talk about who they are and put their business out there. And then some people are like, man, why didn't you tell them so they could pray? So this is what I want you to do. God knows who they are. I want you to pray for them anyway. Amen. Just pray that God will touch their hearts and their lives and allow restoration and healing to come to their lungs and to their bodies and the cough to be gone, and those who are battling other issues, man, there's a lot of stuff happening. So anytime, it's funny, but anytime that you do good things for God, crazy stuff happens, right? Like we had VBS and then craziness started, right? How many know VBS was amazing, but then craziness started, right? All on all fronts. And when you can't be taken care of, when you can't be hindered in this area, how many of you know the enemy tries to find another area? So be mindful and watchful and pray and ask God to show you areas that you need to shore up your defenses. Amen. To stand. And one of the things, so I'm gonna tell you guys my one point from last week, and when Pastor John was preaching, how many of you know I always tell you, get one point, and then I ask you, and I put you on the spot. I'm going to put myself on the spot, but I already knew I was going to do, well, I didn't. This is my favorite point. I sent him to John as soon as he was done. Like, he didn't even leave off the stage, and I had to text him, all right, dude, this is what I got. This is great, right? One of the main points that I got from him last week was stop fighting for victory and fight from a place of victory. We've already won. Right? The battle already is taken care of. Jesus said, it is finished. Right? Paul talks about how we need to stand in it and walk in it now because it's done. Right? And so a lot of that has to do with our mindset on what we're doing. And we've talked about that. If you missed the other 3 weeks before, go back and listen to them. And I am going to do a recap, but I'm not going to do it at the beginning. I put it at the end this time. Because the last time I did a recap, all I did was the recap, and I didn't even get to the new stuff. So I'm going to start with the new stuff today and then finish with the recap if I can get to it, all right? The verses that we've had for this is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. I'm going to be real with you guys this morning. When a problem comes, my mind takes off on all the bad stuff that could happen or is happening. You may not be that way, and I pray that you're not. But when it happens, the first thing that I see when a problem comes is all the bad stuff. Right? I wish that I was the other way. I want to be the other way. I'm praying that God will help me be the other way. But what happens is my thoughts end up running away. So much so that at night I lay there thinking about what's going on and my thoughts are going everywhere so it steals the rest that I'm supposed to have. How many of you know in God we find rest? If you're not finding rest, you need to get yourself in God. You need to change the thought process that's going on. And today what we want to talk about is how to calm my anxious mind. some things that we can do. What's happening and what's going on? And I'm going to use some science and I'm going to use Bible, scripture. So please stay with me. How many of you love science? I love when you can see science and the Bible line up, which is pretty much all the time if you look for it, right? If you look for it. But what happens is if you're like me, then your thoughts start to run away. You start having those irrational worries, right? Your kids are 10 minutes late, so they're laying on the side of the road in a ditch because they got in a bad wreck. You see what I'm saying? The worst thing comes into your mind, and it's not what it is at all, but that's where your thoughts go. Why? Because we allow worry to dictate our lives. One of the statements that I was supposed to make, you know, sometimes I'll rush through at the end, and some people have like, don't rush through. So sometimes now I'll rush through, but I pretend like I'm not rushing through. You guys know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, it's Charles's fault, because Charles is like, dude, don't rush through it. Just wait, right? But anyway, one of the thoughts that I should have shared, and I didn't, and it's down in my, I'm going to go down to my recap, because I put it in there this time, so I wouldn't do it. Where's it at? There it is. One of the things that we tend to do is we interpret God through our circumstances. If God was good, then I would have health. And that's one of the battles that they bring, people who don't believe in God bring to you, right? Well, if God is so good, then why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why does this happen? Most of what happens to us is because of cause and effect in our lives. I hate to say it that way, but it is, right? And I'm not belittling anything, but please don't take it that way. But a lot of people that are battling with sickness, such as cancer or some of the sicknesses that we battle and things that go on in our body, are side effects of what we've done with our body, right? My grandma wasn't upset about having cancer. She smoked for 45 years. She was upset about having it, but do you know who she blamed? Like, I got nobody to blame but myself, right? If those of you that knew Toots, that's how she was. She's like, I hate that I have it. I want God to take it away, but I put myself here. Do you know a lot, and not to get conspiracy crazy, but a lot of the foods that we put in our bodies are what bring about the issues. A lot of the medicines that we take to take care of our finger that hurts cause like stroke, and in some cases have stroke and heart attack and all these internal bleeding, and it's okay right now because my finger feels better until I get those side effects from what I have taken. Does that make sense? Okay. So a lot of times we interpret God through our circumstances, how good God is to us. But the thing that we're supposed to do according to the Bible is we're supposed to interpret our circumstances through the goodness of God, instead of determining who God is because of our circumstances, right? And you say, well, how do you do that? It's not an easy thing to do. Paul, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Paul says that I have learned to be content. Not that I'm just content and it just came to me and God gave me the power and now I'm just content with everything. He said, I've learned to be content. He trained himself to be able to say, God, no matter what circumstance I'm in, you are still good. And I know this. And because of that, I'm going to be able to go through this circumstance. Amen? That's what Paul tells us to do. So now I'm going to come back to where I'm supposed to be. Sorry. Paul, again, he's going through all these different issues and all these areas. And he's writing from prison. And he says, man, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. How many of you get a little anxious at some times about things when you shouldn't be? So I have a friend who had a doctor's appointment to go see the heart doctor and have a heart cath, but one of those things where they read it first. Not an EKG, but when they make you do a stress test, there you go. Was going to do a stress test. And you're like, they got two different kinds of stress tests, right? They got a chemical one, then they got the one where you got to get on a treadmill and be stressed, right? That's crazy, a chemically induced, or I don't know. Anyway, so they have two different kinds. And my friend, as they were going through this process and was told that they were going to have a stress test, was very frustrated and worried and anxious because I can't do the treadmill. Like, I can't do it. I can't go for however long it takes for me to do that. I physically can't do that. I don't want to. I can't do that. And for the whole week was anxious about that part of the stress test. But when they got there, it was the chemical one. So what had happened? That whole entire week had been taken up focusing on the wrong thing. Does that make sense? And what happens is the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy, right? What does he want to steal? Our joy, our faith, our hope that is inside of us, that God is going to take care of this situation, and he'll do it by any means necessary. We see this a lot, and I ain't going to get too deep into it because y'all will be like, oh, I see what you're saying. But a lot of times, the right hand is showing some stuff over here, making sure your attention here so the left hand can do what it wants to do. Right? Or let me say it the other way so y'all can't say that I'm doing it wrong. I just heard that laugh. I know what happened. The left hand is showing you something so the right hand can do what it wants to do. Y'all, I told you I wasn't getting political, and I just did it, and that's not what I meant. Y'all just took it there. Wait a minute. Easy. Back it up. I ain't saying either side. I'm saying you're being shown something, and that's how magic tricks work. Sleight of hand. I show you this, and then I do this over here, and you're none the wiser. Do you know that's how the enemy works in our lives? By getting our minds to be anxious when it doesn't need to be. By getting our focus to be taken off what God is doing and what he can do and what he wants to do and what he will do. And focusing on us and what we can't do and how we're going through it and how bad it is and all these different things. Let me tell you something. God is bigger than all these situations. God is in control of all these situations. And whether I put myself in the situation or not, he's going to help me through it. That's one of the good things about our God. Regardless of if it's because of my own stupidity that I'm in this place, he's still going to help me get through it. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God." So we're supposed to bring these things to God. I'm first. First, bring these things to God. Make all of them known, your petitions known to God. And then there's a little word there. What's the next word? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We want God to make us calm, and then we're going to come thank him for it. I'm just be real. God, just make me calm. Make me calm inside. Not help me get through this issue. Anyway. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember, I talked a few minutes ago about how he said he had learned to be content? We need to practice what the Word of God says so that the God of peace will be with us. Does that make sense? See, and you say, well, God's always with us. I get that. I understand that. But you know what? When I try to take things in my own hand, God just lets me go with it. If that's what you want to do, go right ahead. It's not what I would have you do, but if that's how you want to do it, do it. Right? How many of you have ever done that with your kids? You're like, listen, you need to do it like this. Like, well, I want to do it like that. Like, okay, but if you do it like that, it's going to be like this. And then they don't listen. And then they want to go ahead and do it. So you have to end up being like, okay, just go ahead and do it. And then you're there to pick them up when they do it. And it messes all up. And there's a bigger mess. And you're still there to help them clean it up, right? Well, Me and you were like that, man. Everybody else is just sitting there looking at me. But that's what happens, right? That's what we do. We God shows us, tells us what to do, how to do, how to deal with things, the principles of what we need to do. Paul tells us, man, don't be anxious. Come to God about everything. Do it first, and then the peace of God will be with you. The peace that passes all understanding. Well, how are you like that in this situation? Because God's peace has come onto me because I've given it to him, and he's going to take care of it. Or he's already taken care of it through Jesus Christ on the cross. I have freedom from these things. I have the ability to walk through these things. You want the peace of God in your life, man? You need to practice what God tells you to do. And you say, well, that's living under law. No. Listen, we I'm trying to think of how to say this and say it in the right way, because I know what I want to say. We place law and grace over everything in our lives, right? Which God's grace is over everything in our lives. There is law. But we use access to God, which has been paid for through Christ Jesus, which gives us access to him. And we put those parameters on our entire life. As far as, let me. I don't want what I say to be misconstrued as something else. So that's why I'm trying to be careful. And I didn't have it in my notes. So this is what I'm trying to be careful about. When we are in a right relationship with God, our lives will line up with the law. When we're in a right relationship with him. When we're not in a right relationship with him, the law will run our lives. Why? Because I'm trying to do something so that he loves me. I'm going to share something with you. He already loves you. That's why he sent his son. He gave you freedom to have a relationship with him. I want us to do two things. I want us, one, to stop trying to earn his love by the law. One. Number two, I want us to stop using the excuse of I'm not living by law to be able to live however we want to live. See how there's a big difference there? This is why I'm saying not allow the law to run my life, right? My life should be, and I've used this before, and when I married April, she didn't give me a list of rules and regulations on what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. She didn't say, you can't go to the mall and ask some lady that you think is pretty to go to the movies with you. She didn't say that to me. But I would never do that. Why? Because of my relationship with her. If you see how God used the marriage for us to see the bride and the bridegroom, right? The bride and the bridegroom, Jesus, we're the bride of Christ. You guys get that? If we see how that's supposed to happen and the relationships are supposed to go, why do we think that the bride or the groom gave us a list of rules that if we want to be the bride, we have to do these things? How many of you realize that's not love? That's manipulation and control. God doesn't manipulate us or control us. He allows us to have free will and choose. We need to practice these things. It says, and when we practice these things, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you need your hearts to be guarded and our minds to be renewed and restored? And the anxiety and us being anxious about things being taken away. We need to, number one, in your notes, don't be anxious about anything. So let's talk about worry, anxiety, and the mind. This is where science comes in. Remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. It happens. Think about it. If you think really, really strongly about this and you're always focused on this, your life is going to move towards that. Think about easily just driving a car. Right? So you're driving a car. How many of you have ever been driving a car going straight down the road and took your eyes and saw something to the right and then looked back up and you have gone to the right? Right? You didn't go to the left, you went to the right. Why? Because that's where your focus was going. Think that about your mind and about allowing your mind to start veering to the direction of what you're thinking about the most. That's why Paul tells us whatsoever things are lovely, pure, all those things. That's why he says think about those things. Why? Because that's the way your life will move. That's the way your life will move. Good news if it's a good thought. Bad news if it's a negative thought, right? If you think positive thoughts all the time, that's really great for you. But those of us who have a negative mindset, ain't so hot for us, is it? We need to refocus. So about the mind, man. When something happens to us, science part time now, and I'm not the best at science, so if you'd be like, well, you're not that great, it's okay. They have a little part. You have a little part in your brain called the amygdala. It's a little almond-shaped thing that's in your mind. So this little almond-shaped portion of your mind is the part of your brain that is wired for survival, like fight or flight. You know what I'm saying? That's that point part of your brain. It is the one that is when something happens, it releases chemicals, adrenaline into your body for you to react, right? And that's a good thing to have. Danger happens, the amygdala kicks in, and it sends a strong dose of adrenaline, and your body runs. Those of us who hate snakes, you see a snake, what happens? Ah, run. Like, it was a little tiny one, y'all, and we still took off, right? I'm just saying. Why? Because my mind says, that's bad. I need to stay away from that and focus on that and focus on getting away from that. So problem, it's a good thing, right? So fear is not a bad thing. I'm just going to say that. Being afraid of something, if used in a respectful way, like I respect this thing, so I'm going to stay away from it because I, little kid, touched the stove. Are they afraid of the stove and I'm never going to cook even when I get older because the stove burned me one time? No, I'm going to learn how to function through the fear of not touching the hot things, right? That's what we need to do. But the problem is without the other part of our body, our brain fixing it, I'm going to get to that in a second, without it fixing it, we live in a constant state of fear and anxiety about what's happening. How many of you know not all blue vans are bad? Right? But if there was a kid that was kidnapped in a blue van, guess what? Every blue van we see, we're going to be suspect. Right? It don't have to be the right blue van. That blue van could be in Michigan. We're in Florida. But I'm going to see a blue van with no windows. I'm like, aha, I found him. Be afraid of that van. So I'm going to run away from every blue van. Right? The bad blue vans we need to run away from. But we don't need to live in fear about being around a blue van. Amen? That's where the other part of our brain comes in. So what happens is the amygdala needs help from the prefrontal cortex, right? It's the logic part of my brain. So that when I hear a noise at night, the amygdala says, run, there's just something bad going to get you. And the prefrontal cortex be like, oh, no, wait, that's a cat at the garbage can, right? That's how they work together. That's how they function together. The logic part, the part that thinks, the reason. How many of you know we need to live with reason in our minds? Not all blue vans are dangerous. People, places, events, news. It triggers feelings, fear and anxiety. You watch the news, man, you can't do nothing and go nowhere. Be real. But how many of you know there's some truth in there? We need to be careful. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to not go around people that we know have been sick and then, oh, I've been around you, so I'm going to go around these people and get them sick. How many of you know that happens not just with COVID? That happens with, like, the flu and, like, everything, sickness that there is that's contagious and spreadable, right? We need to be careful and be mindful of all those things, but we need to not let those things run our lives so that we live constantly in fear. Paul writes from prison, man. He says, don't be anxious about anything. If anybody could write about these things, and we've said it before, it's Paul. He's in prison. He's about to go in front of them. They could kill him. They could let him go. They could do whatever they want to do with him. And he's like, man, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you understand again that and word is there? Do this and this will happen. Go to God with everything. So many times, and I hear it, man. I hear it so many times. All we can do now is pray. I mean, if you ain't been praying by now, I mean, come on. I guess it is better late than never. Yeah, but why do we wait? Do we want to stay in the fear and the anxiety that's in our minds? Do we want to have freedom? Do we want to have freedom? See, prayer, coming into God's presence, bringing our petitions to Him, should never be the last line of defense. It should be our first line of offense. When anything happens, look, y'all, when anything happens, good or bad, the first person you should be going to is God. God, thank you that this happened. God, I don't understand why this is happening. Help me see what's up. Help me see what's going on. Keep me cool-headed in the midst of this. I don't know if it's because of fear that we stay away from Him as well, or maybe the enemy puts the thought process that He's not listening to us, or maybe we're just not in the habit of doing it. How many of you know you can form habits in your life, good habits and bad habits? Do you know what? You could make it a habit when anything happens to you, you go to God. How do I do that? Start doing it now, consciously. Remember that one time when I read that scripture that said, practice these things? Practice. Well, I messed up today. That's okay. Start again. So I'm doing this thing with a couple of guys, and it sent me a text message the other day, and it says, hey, have you been doing what you're supposed to do? Then it said, if not, don't worry. Start doing it now. Right? Like if you've missed it, it's okay. Jump in right here. Start right now. No better time than the present to start practicing what I need to be doing. And going to God about all these things is what we need to do. We allow things to keep us away. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the ESV. The King James Version says this: let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. We don't need to be timid about going to God with anything. Paul tells us that in Hebrews, boldly go before the throne. James tells us, if you don't have it, ask for it. Right? James 4:2 says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. If we go back to what Jesus tells us, ask and we'll receive, seek and we'll find, knock and doors will be open. If we put the whole Bible together, we wouldn't be where we were at. I'm just going to tell you. We take pieces, parts, and we forget about what God's word said about all our situations. And the problem is we allow anxiety and issues and fear to run our lives instead of understanding the wisdom of what God's word says, where it says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let us ask. Let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach. And it will be given to him. Say, I don't understand this situation. God, give me wisdom on what to do and how to do it right now. I need it. And then, listen. How many of you know, a lot of times we're like, God, I need to know wisdom on how to handle this. Because you just don't understand about this, and this. And you ain't seen this. And then people bring you the word of God and say, this is what the word of God says. Like, I know that's what it says, but you don't understand about this. We allow the fear to still run our lives. And we don't give it to God. We need to give it to God. Amen? Number two in your notes. Not only does prayer move the heart of God, but prayer also changes the chemistry in your brain. Here's some more science for you. For decades, neurologists believed that the brain didn't change after adolescence. So after adolescence, your brain was what it was, right? It was the same. It used to be thought that it didn't change very much after about the age of 3 or 4, but by studying teens, they know that the brain dramatically changes, even when physical growth appears to be complete. Teenage brain development still isn't finished. In fact, the adolescent brain doesn't fully mature until a young person reaches their mid-20s, is what happens. But even understanding that, let me keep going a little bit further than that, our brains continually grow, always. Remember what we talked about in the weeks past, how every thought creates a pathway. Neuropathways, neurological pathways that run through our brain. And the more you think that thought, the stronger the pathway gets. Remember the dog running around in my yard, making a straight path? It's an indention now. Think that same thought for your brain, right? So our brains continually to go. And so that's called neuroplasty is what that's called. No, neuroplasticity. There, that's the one. You should have a microphone so you could just like pipe in stuff whenever I need it. Anyway, neuroplasticity, right? That's what it's called. And what happens is your brain continues to change, continues to grow. No matter how old you get, it continues to change, right? Now, there was a study done by, and she wrote a book, Dr. Caroline Leaf wrote this book, and they did a study, and it says, it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. So if your brain, if you consciously focus on something, it changes the way your brain works. The problem with that is this. If I'm thinking toxic, negative thoughts, my brain is still changing. But it's changing in a way that we don't want it to. Toxic, negative thoughts hurts your brain. Prayer transforms and renews your mind. You ever heard that before? About the Holy Spirit renewing our minds? It's like He told us that was going to happen, yeah. Romans 8, 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. It's life and peace. So if we set our things on the minds of God, on the Spirit, and allow the Spirit to lead and guide our lives and allow the anxious thoughts that are going to come into our minds to be brought to the captivity of Christ and brought to Him, our lives will be full of peace instead of being anxious and upset and frustrated and worried all the time. So thinking about that, what actually is worry? If you think about it, worry, this is hard to say, but it's true. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. Worry is taking my mind and saying, God, you can't do these things. I just have to go through them. That's what worry is. It's distrust. So this is the thing. I can either let my sinful nature control my mind, or I can choose to let the Spirit direct my thinking, transform my thought process, take the anxiety and the peace away. Let my logical part, the logical part of my brain, choose what is spiritual. Romans 2:12 or 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect." The scripture tells us that we are to take every thought captive. The prefrontal cortex, grab the amygdala by the tail and bring it to God. Say, I don't want these worries. I don't want these thoughts. I don't want this to control me. I want what you have for me. 2 Corinthians, again, 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So, what do we need to do with that information? I'm going to skip down to 3. Y'all ready? Do what I can do. You know you need to do your part. You need to eat healthy. You need to do some exercise. You need to start focusing on the good things. You need to start looking for God in your situations. You need to start using the Word of God in your situations instead of listening to whoever's on whatever you listen to. Was that an easy way to say it? I was being gentle. You need to do what you can do. You need to give God what you can't do. God, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. God, I'm going to give this to you because I can't handle this situation on my own. I don't want to. And then you need to trust God no matter what happens. Not see God through your circumstances, but see your circumstances through the goodness of God. It's possible, according to Scripture, and it's also a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. Go on to Philippians 4. I already used the scripture earlier, but I didn't read it. 4:11-12. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the correct usage of that verse. Amen? No matter what situation comes, if I put my trust, if I put my faith in God, and I allow Him to take care of my situations, I can face anything that comes. Regardless of how good or how bad it is, I can face anything when I allow God to do what He can do in the situation. When I do what I can do, when I give Him what I can't, and then when I trust Him to take care of it, regardless of what happens. See, we give things to God, and then something else comes up, and so we pick it all back up. Well, now I got this and that. God's big enough for all of it. Amen? So, in review for all the things that we've gone through, what we've gone through over the couple of weeks, I want to just give you some thoughts, and then we're going to close. If your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, do you like the direction that your life is moving? If not, you need to look at your thought life. You need to look at what you're allowing to come in and control and consume the mind that you have about being anxious, about being worried, about being frustrated. Because this is the thing. If you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do, because it always comes from the thought life. Then we talked about in the second week, I believe, about identifying the truth. And I told you guys to do something, and I bet there's not many of you that have done this, but I want you to start doing it. Again, make a habit of doing something different to change where you're at, right? That's what you have to do. If you want things to be different, you got to change what you do. This is what I want you to do. And you say, well, you're just putting stuff on me. Don't do the law grace thing. Remember? We talked about that. Identify the truth. What I want you to do is I want you to find it in the Word of God. I want you to write it down. I want you to think it. And I want you to confess it until you believe it. Because if it's God's Word, it's truth. Whether you believe it at the moment or not, it's truth. I want you to write it down. I want you to think it. I want you to confess it. What are the truths? Jesus is first in my life, and I serve to glorify Him. I'm disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than any desire in me. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day. Because of Christ, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, and my leadership is sharper. Those are things that will happen when you put Jesus Christ first. Amen? I'm creative, I'm innovative, I'm driven, I'm focused. I'm blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. You say, well, why am I saying all those things? Well, we say I can't do it and I'm not good enough and I'm all these things over and over and over. You say, well, what good is that going to do? One, again, it's going to instill in you what the Word of God says about you. Find the verses for it. Go through. Say, God, I'm struggling with this. What are some verses? Find some verses. Go through it. Start writing them down on what God says. Declare what is true about you. Write it. Think it. Confess it. Believe it. You're not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts. Why are you not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts? Because the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. They're there for pulling down strongholds, right? The mind, where we're at. You have divine power to demolish strongholds, demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Do you understand, in order to set things up against the knowledge of God, in order to discern what they are, you have to know what the knowledge of God is. You have to know the Word. Why is it so important that we do Bible studies? Why is it so important that you get in the Word of God? Whether you come to the Bible study here or not, do it at home. Do you know what most people like? Well, I do my Bible study at home by myself. Okay, when's the last time you did it? Just be real. Now, some people have a very, very disciplined life and say, and they get up every morning and they do. Some people have that, but the majority of people do not. And end up not having time for God because they've let everything else get in the way of it. I'm going to move along quickly. Worry is not your master. You trust in God. His peace guards your heart, guards your mind, and guards your soul in Christ Jesus. Why is it important to say that? Because we allow our mind to control us. We allow the world to control us. We allow the enemy to control us. Why? Because we forget who our master is. I mean, we know who's in charge. But does our life and our actions show it? Worry is not your master. You're not slave to your habits. Not a prisoner to your addictions. You've been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. That's what the scripture says about us. The next week we talked about this. You can't control what happens to us, but you can control how you frame it. You can control how it works in your life. Again, don't interpret God through your circumstances, man. Interpret your circumstances through the goodness of God. And then cover everything in prayer. Everything. I'm not going to be anxious about anything, but in everything, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to bring my prayers and my petitions to Him. Because how many of you know, He's not a God that's not present. He's with you, always. He's always there. He's always waiting on you to turn around and be there for Him. Always. Then it says, the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard our heart and our mind. That means if we allow the Spirit to lead us and to guide us, and we focus on these things, our mind, our brain, according to science, completely changes. And it's focused on what? The good things, the right things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Right? We need to allow God to do that. Let God empower you to win the war in your mind. Because the scripture says, this is what Jesus said about being free. How many of you want to be free from all these things? How many of you want to be free from an anxious mind? How many of you want to be able to allow God's peace to permeate your life in every aspect? It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that we have, Jesus Christ paid for on the cross when He died, when He rose again. He gave us freedom. We need to walk in it. We need to allow the freedom to take hold in our lives, in our minds, and in everything that we do. Because how many of you know, I can have something given to me, and then me never access it and use it. Right? So for my birthday, I got a DVD set. I just got it this morning, y'all. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to go home and watch it. Do you know what? If I don't go home and watch it, that DVD set does me absolutely no good. I have it. But unless I access it, it's not any good. Scripture says that there is an opportunity. Aaron, you can come on back. For each and every one of us to be a part of the family of God. Says it. Says that God wishes that none would perish. Doesn't mean that none are that everybody's going to heaven. All right, there's a thought process now that all will go to heaven because that scripture says that. Now he wants us to come. He tells us in different places in the scripture. He tells us about how we have access and we can be a part of it. Remember the one who sent out to bring all the people to the wedding, right? And then they don't come. So he goes out and invites everybody to come. You know one of the crazy things that I see about that story? At the end of that story, there's one guy that he kicks out. Why? He said, because you knew you were coming and you didn't change your clothes. You didn't fix stuff. It's a scary thought to me. I want to make sure all my stuff's fixed. I want to make sure my clothes are changed. I want to make sure that I'm ready. And this is the thing. Everybody in that story had an opportunity to come. Some came. Some came not ready, not prepared. They wanted to keep all their old stuff and still come. It doesn't work that way. I remember when I came from home from the Navy, my dad said that. He said, son, you can come. I love you. You're always welcome in my house, but the drugs can't come. So if you want them too, you can't come. And I always relate that in my mind to the scripture where that story comes into play. And he says, you come. I want you to come. I want everybody to come. But if you want to hang on to them things, you hang on to them. I don't know about you, but I want to get rid of everything that holds me back. Like I said earlier in our prayer time, God, I want to get rid of everything that could possibly get in the way of you. Like, well, I don't think it will. Man, look, I'd rather get rid of something that might than to have it bite me. That's just how I look at it. I'd rather get rid of it if it might cause a problem. Because knowing me, it's going to cause a problem. Just be honest. And if you're honest with yourself, right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, you've got some things in your life that might be causing you a problem or that are causing you a problem. And I want to give us all an opportunity. Remember, if you haven't been doing it up to now, now's the best time to start.
Amen.
Now's the best time to start. You got some stuff you want to give to God this morning. You want to get rid of. Why don't you just put your hands up, put them back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, you saw our hands go up. Even more than that, you see the hearts of each and every one of us. Your word says you don't judge us by what's on the outside, you judge us inwardly. Our hearts. I ask that you see our hearts today. See that we love you. See that we want you to take everything that holds us from your presence out of our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would teach us, that you would show us the things that are going to be or could be issues in our life and help us with it. I ask that you help us focus on the weak areas that we have in our hearts and in our minds and help us work on those so that those become our strengths and not our weaknesses. So that the attacks of the enemy are brought to nothing, as your scripture says. I ask that you help us with that now. And I ask, God, that everyone that's here, everyone that's listening, everyone that's watching, that you would allow us to feel the freedom that only you can give, the peace that passes understanding, and help us walk in it daily, regardless of our circumstances. Regardless of where we're at and what we're doing. Because you are good to us always, Father God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. I love you guys. I want you to know that. Now, we're going to stand up and sing. Y'all ready to worship? What are we going to sing?
The sound that saved us all.
What he said. The sound that saved us all. Stand up. Let's talk about it. Sing about it.